Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me now, I have energy expert Ron Stein with PTS Advance and also author of the new book called Energy Made Easy. And we're going to be talking about gasoline prices in California and where California gets its supply of gasoline. Thank you very much for joining me today, Ron. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Now, first of all, tell us about PTS Advance. What is its purpose?
PTS Advance is a staffing company, basically. We do staffing in the life sciences industry, in the energy sector industry. We basically provide staff to augment the client's core staff. When they get awarded projects and don't have the necessary people to do the projects, we help augment them and allow them to accomplish the projects.
And that's all pretty much in the energy sector?
Energy and life sciences.
Okay, we've been hearing a lot about Saudi Arabia's decreased output of oil affecting California. Does a decrease in Saudi Arabia's largest oil refineries have any impact on California's refineries?
Definitely. We get most of our oil from the Middle East. California is the only state in the country that imports oil. We are importing, you know, back in 92, between California production and Alaska production, we accounted for like 95% of our needs. And only needed 5% from foreign countries. That 5% in 92 has grown because California production has been going down, anticipated. Alaska production is going down. And we are now importing 57% of our needs daily. And it's costing us $60 million a day. We're sending to oil-rich foreign countries. And yeah, when Saudi Arabia gets hit, that might be our oil.
So that doesn't affect the rest of the nation, but it does affect us here in California.
Definitely, yes. It's a supply and demand situation.
Why are California refineries operating at lower capacity?
Well, they generally try and run full capacity, and they generally do a pretty good job. They run around 90% efficiency, but these are complicated units, and occasionally some of the units have to be brought down for maintenance and repairs and replacing catalysts and that type of thing. And these, when they bring them down for a turnaround, their production goes down, way down. So, and they usually do the turnarounds in the winters when there's less demand for, you know, gasoline, so it doesn't impact the economy as much and it doesn't impact the bottom line as much because, like I say, they're running full bore, and we're a big state. We have a lot of energy needs between aviation, diesel, and gasoline. We're consuming 60 million gallons of fuel every day. And that's all being produced here.
And now for the $64 million question, why do we see these huge fluctuations in gas prices?
Well, it's interesting. In California, as you know, we're paying like an extra buck a gallon. And that's very frustrating because the public really doesn't know why. You know, everything you buy, it clothes, computers, cars, it's price plus tax. Fuel is the only commodity I know of that the posted price at the gas station is a dumping ground. They dump all the cost into the posted price. The posted price includes federal tax, excise tax, state tax, local taxes, cap and trade, low carbon fuel standards, renewable fuel standards, and the reformulated fuels. And it all gets dumped in there. And back last year in 18, I was successful in getting Senator John Morlock, to sponsor a bill. And the bill was transparency of pricing at the pump. Hey, we're paying an extra buck a gallon. Let the public know where it's all going. And I thought it was a no-brainer. So I'm up in Sacramento with a senator testifying before it was a Democratic-controlled committee. And to my shock and amazement, They were adamant. They didn't want the public to know those details and killed the bill.
Now, California apparently is considered an energy island and has a greater dependency on foreign oil than the rest of the nation. Now, is that true? And if so, why would we want to be dependent on foreign oil when we have the potential to produce all of our own oil?
California's choice. you're right. We are an island. We are separated from the rest of the country. The rest of the country, you keep reading about the U.S., the net oil exporter. That's 100% true for 49 states, not for California, because we're separated from the rest of the country with the Sierra Mountains and the Pacific Ocean. And there's no crude oil pipelines over the mountains. So all that oil in the United States, we have no access to it. And it's really frustrating. And you're right. We're sitting on the largest oil reserves in America. But California's choice is not to drill, and we delegate our environmental stewardship to others. You know, it's okay to bring a tanker 10,000 miles from Saudi Arabia, you know, polluting everything, rather than drill it here.
And what might happen if Governor Newsom actually gets his way to phase out oil production in our state? What would be some of the consequences?
He would basically sunset the California economy, because the California economy is, you have to understand, crude oil is, yeah, provides fuel for cars. And that's, I think, his main purpose is to get rid of the cars. But you got, you know, 6,000 products that come out of crude oil. You know, all your iPad, look in your office, look in your home. What do you see did not come from oil? And all those products would go away. He wants to get rid of the military. He wants to get rid of aviation. He wants to get rid of the cruise ships, the merchant ships. The country, I mean, we're a national security risk. Every month, there's $50 billion of products imported and exported. And those products are coming and going throughout the United States. And if we get rid of the oil industry, hey, you know, piss off the economy. Here we go.
And if they do raise prices, or if gas prices continue to go up, does that take a toll on everyone's pocketbook? And what does it do to their discretionary income? What type of businesses would be hurt the most if gasoline prices continue to go up?
You're right. It's devastating. You know, most people have a fixed income. If you're retired, obviously you've got a fixed income with Social Security. But most people, you have a job, you're making a salary, and if you work 40 hours, that's what you get. You might vary it a little bit if you work some overtime, but basically, you have pretty much a fixed income, and that money's on the table, and you have a choice. You can throw it all in your gas tank, or you can go out to dinner and buy clothes or buy food, and it's devastating. I think there's a direct relationship between energy cost, fuel, and electricity, and homelessness, because it drives up the cost of everything. You drive up the cost of a truck bringing in tomatoes, well, tomatoes are going to go up, and the food prices go up, and it just reverberates throughout the economy. And if you're on a fixed income, it's tough. If you're making the big bucks, hey, no problem, I'll throw $100 in my gas tank. But if you're not, that's tough on the economy.
Yes, and it seems that every time gas prices go up, everybody raises their prices to compensate for the prices of gas going up. But then when gas prices come back down, they never reverse those prices. Those prices still stay high.
You know, it's interesting. You're right. When something happens, sorry to be, prices go up instantaneously. They always go up immediately, and they tend to trickle down. They come down a lot slower, but they eventually come down.
Let's get back to gas tax transparency. Why doesn't the governor and the legislature support making all the taxes that are added to a gallon of gasoline? Why don't they make that transparent? And why don't they tell us what those taxes are for?
Well, Stephen, I'm still going through therapy from that denial of the Democrats. So I don't know. You know, like you say, they killed the bill. And then it was about a year later when the gas prices hit a peak and the governor was up in arms and wanted an investigation. The Attorney General wanted an investigation. It's their own party that didn't want the public to know. It's crazy. They don't talk to one another.
What are some of the taxes that are included with a gallon of gas?
Well, you have federal taxes. You have excise taxes, state taxes, local taxes. There's the cap-and-trade program. Much of the cap-and-trade program went to fund Governor Brown's choo-choo train. And those funds are still there. They're being used for other projects. There's a low-carbon fuel standard. There's a renewable fuel standard. And then you got the winter and summer, you know, reformulated cost to go in there. The real tough part is two of those environmental programs, the cap-and-trade program and the low-carbon fuel standard program, they're just kicking into high gear. What I mean by that, every year it gets tougher and tougher to comply with those requirements. And those two programs by themselves may add an extra buck to the price of fuel.
You're saying in addition to the prices we're already paying?
Yes. Yes. You know, it's interesting. You can go to Arizona and Nevada and get your fuel for, you know, a buck less. You know where they get their fuel? From California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they don't have the same taxes on their posted price at the pump. And so, yeah, it's ironic that there's no refineries in Arizona and Nevada, and they get most of the fuel from California.
So it has to be trucked in, and they're still paying a dollar less than we are.
Yes, because they don't have the environmental cost in within their state and the different taxes.
Now, where do you see these gasoline prices going in the future, and is there a solution to these giant up-and-down fluctuations? Do we need to talk to our legislators? Do you have any solutions?
Well, the interesting thing, you know, they want to basically keep beating up on the oil industry. They would really like to get the oil industry out of California. But, you know, we got 35 million registered vehicles, and most people can't afford an EV. We got aviation. I mean, the airlines, they moved 4 billion people last year around the world. And California's a major piece of that puzzle with all the airports we have here. And if we get rid of the refineries in California, two things are going to happen. All the finished product fuels would have to be imported, so the costs are going to go way up, and emissions are going to go up because California is the most environmentally controlled location in the world. So if you're going to manufacture fuel, you want to manufacture it here. You don't want to manufacture it in a different state or a different country that doesn't have environmental controls. So if basically close your eyes, the emissions are going to go up, the costs are going to go up. And, Steve, there's no easy solution to this. We are an energy-consuming society, and we like our lifestyle.
So if California wants to cut down on oil production, but then they still have to import oil from foreign countries, then that actually pollutes more. Why can't they see that they are polluting more instead of cutting down on pollution?
Steve, I really honestly believe, our politicians firmly believe, we only breathe our air. We don't breathe their air.
That kind of sounds right as far as they're concerned.
Right, because they want to, this is going to be a clean state. We delegate everything. Just talk about electricity. We import electricity because we can't produce it here. We shut down a nuclear power plant at San Onofre, and the good news is there was no brownouts. The bad news is importing electricity is expensive.
Right.
We have it produced from another state. So citizens are paying 50% more than the national average for electricity. Commercial is paying twice the national average for electricity. Now, let's take a look at the gloomy future. We got the Diablo Canyon's nuclear power plants coming down in a couple years, and Garcetti has announced he's closing three natural gas power plants because natural gas is a fossil fuel, and he wants to get rid of fossil fuel. But you shut down Diablo Canyon, you shut down these gas power plants, there's no plans to replace the power. They're going to be importing more and more, which is going to cost more and more. So electricity is going to be like fuel. It's going to go through the roof.
Okay, what can the general public do to offset these concerns?
Talk to the politicians. I mean, like if they're happy with prices the way they are, keep electing the same people. All you can do is cast your votes at the ballot box. If you're not happy, you know, change the politicians. If you're happy, keep reelecting them. I would encourage people to read the book that we just published, Energy Made Easy. It's really intended to provide energy literacy for the public because energy can get pretty complicated pretty quick when you're talking on technically. But we put it in layman's terms, and everything we've been talking about during this conversation is all covered in the book. We cover all kinds of things besides, you know, electric vehicles, you know, climate change. We have what's happening in China and India. And, you know, the really devastating thing, we live in la-la land. We are enjoying the fruits of all the products that come out of fossil fuels. But if you take a look at the world, there's almost 8 billion people in this world. And it's a big number, 80%. 80% of 8 billion, most of the people, 80% are living on less than $10 a day. They don't have anything. They haven't even joined the Industrial Revolution. And it's really sad. I mean, there's 11 million kids dying every year in these undeveloped countries from malnutrition, diphtheria, diarrhea, lack of immunization. And we're in la-la land. You know, we want to subsidize this, subsidize that. And it's really frustrating that the homeless here in America are living a hell of a lot better life than most people in the undeveloped countries. Really sad.
So if prices continue to go up, we start paying more for gasoline, we start paying more for all of the goods associated with bringing those goods to market, and also if electricity and power starts to go up, what is that going to do to the economy?
Oh, yeah, exactly, because people are right on the brink, and you know, if they lose a job, they can, you know, lose their mortgage, not pay the rent, get it, you know, evicted, and yeah, they're right on the brink, and it's... Energy cost is, to me, it's directly related to homelessness. And we got the highest energy costs here in California. We got the highest homeless rate, too.
Right. So now tell us the name of your book once again and where we can find a copy of it.
Energy Made Easy. It's easily available on Amazon.com. And like I say, if you read it, then I'll give you the quiz.
Okay. Energy expert Ron Stein with PTS Advance and also author of the new book, Energy Made Easy. And we've been talking about the prices of gasoline in California and oil production in the state. So thanks once again for joining me today. Some great information there, Ron.
Very good. Okay, Steve, you have a great day and have a great week.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.